chapter 5 in Galatians. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. Everybody repeat those words. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. Wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Now let me just, before I read on here, explain a little bit as we go. When we're reading verses like this, there are verses before that I could have read leading into it that would cause this to have a setting where you would understand what he's saying here. Don't go off and say the preacher preached tonight that anybody that is circumcised cannot have God in their life. That's not what I'm preaching here tonight. Amen. But what I'm going to be talking about is liberty and our choice of whether to be free or to be bound. Amen. And I'll come back and explain that later. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith, which worketh by love. You did run well who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. You may be seated. Amen. We've been set free from sin. We who have been born again of the water and the Spirit, we have been set free. There is a liberty in serving Jesus Christ. It is a perfect liberty. You're absolutely free to be a winner all the time. And you're absolutely free to find a solution to every problem. And to be able to solve it. There's nothing to bind you and to keep you from being able to get anything solved that's hindering you. To get anything broken that's trying to stop you. You can break down walls. You have what it takes to get through any barrier. You're free to be able to go through impossible waters. Amen. We come from a world that is filled with rules and regulations, and we're easily brought back to an awareness that some things you need to be fearful about. Some things are a little bit difficult. Some things are impossible because we are in limited flesh. How many of you are still in some limited flesh? Do you ever find yourself feeling like this is difficult? This situation at hand is difficult. I don't know how I'm going to make it through what I'm facing. You ever have those feelings? You had those feelings before you knew God too, didn't you? Amen. But the difference between then and now is you may not have had what it takes to get through back then, but you do now. Hallelujah. In the setting where I'm reading in the book of Galatians, we have people who have just been delivered from law into grace. They have just come from the old way that we read about all through the Old Testament with offerings of blood, the priest, the tabernacle in the wilderness, and the laws, the rules, the regulations, they have gone through centuries of that. But a new and living way has been presented now. The book of Galatians is a letter written from Paul to a group of Holy Ghost-filled, set-free people. And they've been in some discussions about the way it's always been. And there was some confusion and some division in the church, amongst church people back in those days, over people not being able to adjust to the new freedom that they had. Because it had always been, certain things had always been certain ways, and now they were having to adjust. No longer was it animal sacrifices. Jesus would be the only sacrifice. And that's quite an adjustment when all you've ever known before in your life is the way it's always been. The Mosaic Law, the order of sacrifices, turtle doves and pigeons and lamb offerings. And now there's something happening because every time they need a sacrifice, they're able to present a perfect sacrifice without blemish before the Lord, without killing an animal. And that's quite a difference in the way it had been before in their life. And no longer is it necessary for them to take their little child, their little man-child, their little boy, to the tabernacle or to the place to have them circumcised on the eighth day. No longer is this something that is absolutely necessary. There was a time when it was a law and you had to do these things in order to please God. But now circumcision is something of the heart. For absolutely, in the eyes of God, when you are going to serve God with all your heart, you cut all your flesh away. Amen. You are everything about you that would produce anything or in any way have an effect on the future of yourself or those that might come after you or anything that has to do with you, period, your life. It's something that is anything to do with the flesh is cut out as far as God's concerned. And now you are released into a new and living way. And whether you're circumcised according to the flesh or not, it doesn't matter. Has nothing to do with anything as far as being able to be in the kingdom of God. But yet, in order to please God, we have to be able to find what that was all about and be able to apply it to our lives in a different way. God didn't do away with circumcision. He just presented it in a different way. Amen. Now, we go into the waters of baptism. We are buried with Him in waters of baptism. We arise to walk in newness of life. Amen. When we repent and we were baptized in Jesus' name, in God's eyes, we have been circumcised. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. If you don't know what all these words mean, it's okay, but I'm just saying there is a cutting away of that which had us bound under the law, under the regulations, and there is, in that cutting, that which is not pleasing to God is on one side of the cut, and that which is pleasing to God is on the other side. There is nothing in our flesh that will ever please the Lord, but we have to deal with it. We have to deal with it. It would be difficult to come to church without bringing your flesh. I heard somebody say, I would have been at church tonight and had some problems come up and I couldn't be there. But my spirit was there. I don't ever believe that hogwash. Your spirit is not here if your flesh is not here. Your spirit tends to go where your flesh goes. You know, you can't send your brains to church. You can't send your soul to church and stay at home. Amen. But if your soul is going to be in church, if your spirit's going to be in church, you're going to have to bring it by bringing your old hide to the church house. Because in this life, we cannot get away from it. They all just stay together. Your spirit, your body, your soul goes everywhere you go. And no matter what you're dealing with, you're going to have to deal with it with your priorities in the right place. It's easy for us to be persuaded by pain, discomfort, tiredness, sickness, and we all have to deal with these things. Amen. And if we don't watch out, we will deal with it in the way that we did before we found our freedom. If we only realize what we have what people have been looking for a long, long time. When I was a child, a man would come on a wagon with a little bottle with some kind of red fluid in it. He would sell this bottle to those farm people for $1 a bottle. And then before they could know for sure if it would work, he would be in some other town selling it to some other people. But he was making a lot of money driving that team of mules or horses with that wagon full of these bottles. And he'd pull up into the little town and start yelling to the people, "Come over here. I got a cure for anything that's wrong. It'll cure you from heart trouble. It'll take care of your bald head, put hair back on your head. It'll remove warts. It'll take cavities out of your teeth. It'll take cancer out of your body. If you can't have children, it'll cause you to be able to have children." That little red $1 bottle that man had could cure you of anything. Amen. The only thing that did was separate dollar bills from people, from their pockets into his pocket. Amen. But that was in a day when I was a child. Since that day, you would have a hard time getting away with that because some laws have been passed. And some people have become more wise. But for years, people have tried to find a cure-all. Something that will just fix anything. And you can turn on the radio today and you can hear advertisement of some things that seem to just do that. And there are a lot of things that will do a lot of good. There are some natural foods that you can hear about. I've heard about people who just drink a lot of seaweed juice from Iceland, and some eat or drink fish oil from places like Iceland, and then there are plants on certain islands where you can get the juice from. It'll cure you of diabetes, heart trouble. If you're blind, it'll give you better eyesight, get your eyes to get to where you can see again. Cause your ears to hear better. If you're crippled, it'll make you walk better. Always people coming up, and maybe some of these things do have a good effect and can help. I'm not here to knock anybody's dream if you really believe that this will help you. But when we were in the world, we were reaching for something all the time, weren't we? But you know what we've got now? A cure-all. We have what Ponce de Leon was looking for. He could not find it, but he looked for it for years. The fountain of youth. Praise God. I don't care how wrinkled up you are, how bald you are, how gray you are, how old you are, you can be a new baby right now. But you see, the way that you have to see this is through faith. We have to realize what we've got is something that comes through faith. And realize that in the natural way, our bodies do get older. The wrinkles do come. The hair does fall away and turn gray. The heart does have problems. There are rheumatisms and arthritis problems and all kinds of things. I used to hear about lumpuckeroo. I never did know what it was. Do you know what that is? Lumpuckeroo? I think it was a name they put on something when they didn't know what was wrong with them. Because every once in a while, there'd be somebody sick in our community when I was a child, and they'd say, I think it's lumpuckeroo. Now, I really thought that was a disease, but all they had to cure it was Haddockall. And I had lumpuckeroo from the time I was 6 years old to about nine. Amen. Amen. But I'm not just talking about physical things tonight. We really haven't learned what it is to tap into the spiritual side of our being. The mind of Christ, when it says in the Word of God, put on the mind of Christ, that is a spiritual type of thinking. Now, we can't really do that unless we have the Spirit of Christ. But without the Spirit of Christ, we're none of His. But with the Spirit of Christ, we belong to Him. And His thoughts are not our thoughts, but we can have His thoughts. Amen. He'll put His thoughts in our minds. That's when we put on the mind of Christ, there is a mindset that comes in the spirit realm that can get you out of what my dad used to call the mully grubs. Because people with lumpuckeroo sometimes have the mully grubs too. All down and out, discouraged. Nothing seems to go right. Everything I touch falls apart. It's been a rotten day. I just don't think anybody's right but me. And sometimes I'm worried about myself. And you can get yourself talked into being a loser, being down and out, giving up, thinking that everything that could go wrong has gone wrong, and there's really no hope to even try and no reason to try. Now, this is ungodly, stinking, evil thinking. It's not pleasing to God for a Holy Ghost-filled child of God to think like we used to think. Now, we had a reason to think the whole world's gone nuts when we were in sin. We had a reason to feel like giving up. We had a reason to feel like there's no hope and everything's gone wrong and there's no reason to try anymore. But when we passed over from that death into life, from that bondage into freedom, we put away the old and grabbed hold of the new. And I want to tell you something. There is no mixture of being down and out and victorious at the same time. There's no way you can feel defeated and feel like you're going to win the battle. It's impossible to go backward and forward at the same time. You can't be up and down at the same time. But we're going to have to choose which way we're going to be. Hallelujah. Choose this day whom you will serve. If we're going to choose God, then we'll choose the way of God. Hallelujah. You can't tell me that a down and out, discouraged, depressed, feeling bad all the time individual that never has anything good to say about anything is on fire for God. Hallelujah. I'll tell you something else. If you associate with those type of people, you're either going to affect them or they're going to affect you. Praise God. That part about a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, what that just simply means is it is possible that everything can be going really good amongst the people of God, but somebody can be amongst you or around you that adds something else to what you've got that causes you to feel like you got to pay attention to that. You got to partake of that. That's got to be part of what I'm doing. You see, there's always somebody in the crowd that has some kind of an idea of what you should do, how you should live, how you ought to think, what you should or should not wear, how you should or should not fix your hair. Amen. When we started serving God, He intended us to have only one Savior. And only one that we serve. And only one that we follow. And only one that we listen to be our guide. And to be the one that tells us which way to go. But it's always been like this in the church a long time ago and even now. And I'm not talking about anybody here unless I am. But okay, these people get the Holy Ghost. They get baptized in Jesus' name. And they're just filled with the glory of God. And all kinds of good things are happening. And it comes right on into the church. Death that wants them to stay bound. Amen. Praise God. Let me go back and just read a little bit into this if I can. Amen. Paul said in the 11th verse in this 4th chapter of Galatians. All right, let's go back a little bit. 9th verse. But now, everybody say, but now. Hey, that would make a good subject right there. But now. But now, after that you have known God, or rather, are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and times and years. Now, he's not saying that you can't observe days, months, times, and years. But what he's saying here is times, days, months, and years that you once looked upon as being something sanctimonious or religious or something that you had to do certain things in order to please God or in order to please others. Those things you once held on to that had you bound by the law or bound by tradition. He's trying to say to the people in the church, things are different now. Hallelujah. You observe days and months and times and years. Jesus wants to be everything to us. Paul said, I'm afraid of you. I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. In other words, he's saying, I'm afraid of you. I feel like I preached to you and you haven't heard what I've said. I feel like I've told you how to live and you're not paying any attention. You got your mind all caught away on the way you think it ought to be or the way it should still continue to be or the way it always was. I'm trying to tell you, but now it's different. Hallelujah. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. You know how that through the infirmity of the flesh. Now I've heard people talk about, I wonder what was wrong with him. The infirmity of the flesh. And I've heard people tell me what they thought was wrong with him. In fact, some of them told me they knew what was wrong with him. I'll tell you what was wrong with him. He had flesh to deal with. And that is an infirmity to a child of God. We have to deal with it, though. And we have to learn how to keep it in its place and be able to take it everywhere we go and still be a Christian.
We have to learn to take our feet, let them walk us to wherever we need to go to. Take our hands and let them reach for whatever we need to reach for. Use our voice and use our thoughts in this fleshly mind that we have. And somehow, let the Spirit of God keep everything in order. Hallelujah. You know how through the infirmity of the flesh, I preached the gospel unto you at first. And my temptation which is in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected. I've also heard a lot of people talk about, oh, I wonder how he must have been tempted. I wonder if it was lust, or I wonder if it was this, or I wonder if it was that. Well, a lot of things can be your temptation in the flesh. For instance, I can be talking to you and some of you can be talking to each other not paying attention. I'm tempted in the flesh to do something about that. I may throw a napkin at you. Paul might have been tempted at sometimes to point his finger and shout and say, stop it. It could have been a lot of things, but whatever it was, amen. He's trying to teach a lesson here. There's something beyond this flesh. Whether you be in the audience or whether you be the preacher, and whether you be tempted to rise up in anger or have an attitude problem, or whether I be tempted to do the same thing when I'm trying to tell you how you need to be living, praise God, there's something now that's different. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, you despise not. I mean, I can't preach to you unless I use my flesh. Do you hate me because I'm a human being? That's all Paul is saying. No, you didn't hate me. You didn't despise me. I came to you in one way, one place, he said, not with enticing words, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power that's within me. I heard somebody say, because he said, I didn't come to you with enticing words, that meant he probably stuttered or he probably had a speech impediment. No, it simply means that there's something beyond speaking with my vocabulary, with my tongue, with what you're hearing with your ears. There's something else involved here. Hallelujah. There's something else involved here. My temptation, which was in my flesh, he despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. It is wonderful when you can receive the preacher that's preaching to you as Jesus Christ talking to you. That's the way God wants it. That's the way God wants it. And I'm going to tell you something. If Jesus Christ Himself walked in here and you knew it was Jesus, you would listen to Him. You would pay attention to Him. You wouldn't want to go home. You would want Him to stay past 9 o'clock and 9:30. Wouldn't you want Jesus to keep going for a while? Wouldn't you be sitting on the edge of your seat to see what Jesus is going to say next? But see, we're tempted in our flesh to look at our watch at 9 o'clock and maybe shake it a little bit. Or we're tempted in our flesh to let our mind drift. We may not mean for it to, but we're human. And if the preacher talks too long or gets in a monotone or doesn't do something to grab our attention, our minds go like a boat, you know, sitting on the edge of the water and just starts drifting away. Off she goes. And you might have heard the first few words and your mind might have kicked in and said, you know, I've heard this one before and I'm tired. So you keep your eyes open, but your mind is asleep. You don't have the foggiest idea what I'm saying. You just wish I'd hurry up and get through. But what if it was Jesus up here talking? Hey, and if you can learn that God has chosen through the foolishness of preaching to speak to you, if you can look at this little fat man from Arkansas and realize you're hearing from Jesus tonight, you might get a little more excited than you are right now. Hallelujah. Because Jesus is here to tell you, you don't have to be bound anymore. You're free. The Spirit of the Lord is within you. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Liberty to be victorious. Liberty to shout. Liberty to say hallelujah from your heart. Liberty to know everything's going to be all right when everything around you says it's not all right. Liberty to go forward when everything's trying to push you backwards. Liberty to go up when everything is trying to hold you down. The Spirit of the Lord within you is like helium in a balloon. It doesn't matter how much you try to push it down. Praise God, you take your hands off of it. Take the string off of it. Don't tie it to anything, and it's going to go up. All you need to do tonight is break loose. You just need to break loose and let the Spirit that's in you lift you up, carry you forward, break you through. Hallelujah. Hear Jesus speak to you, not just the man. And let me see you as Jesus operates within you. That's why Paul said, I don't want to know anything other than Jesus and Him crucified about you. I just want to know. You know why he wanted just to know Jesus and Him crucified? He didn't want to know what you think about so-and-so and what you've been doing, what you're going to do tomorrow, and what caused you to feel like you're feeling. He wasn't interested in all that. All he wanted to know was, hey, in this congregation, is Jesus here? Amen. And are you mindful of the fact He was crucified for you? Because the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ will cure everything that's wrong in your life. Hallelujah. It is a red liquid that was shed on an old rugged cross that really will heal your heartaches. Praise God. Take away your chains of bondage. Cause you to be able to be free when you can't be. Keep you excited when you don't have any reason in the flesh to be excited. Hallelujah. Where is then the blessedness you spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Now, I've heard people preach on that and write books about it even. Paul had bad eyes. It's all over. You go to your library, any religious bookstore, and you'll find it. There are a lot of people who say because of this verse and because it's talking about his infirmity of the flesh, he had bad eyes. Well, maybe he did. Maybe he didn't, but that's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is this. You appreciated me, and you loved me, and you were so glad that I was here to bring you the Word of God that you would have plucked out your eyes for me. That's what he's saying. He's not saying you'd have plucked out your eyes and give me some good eyes. He was saying you loved what was going on so much. You were so excited about Jesus. You were so set free when I was with you. You were so happy and you were so filled with joy. But I'm afraid of you now. Hallelujah. And so he has to write these letters to remind them. Stir up the gift that's in you. Praise God. Remember what you got a hold of. You need to still feel like plucking your eyes out if necessary to make sure it's better for you to pluck your eyes out, cut your hand off, cut your foot off, whatever it takes, cut yourself away. Cut all your flesh out of it while you're at church and just let God be God. That's where the healing waters start flowing. Hallelujah. That's where the healings start taking place. That's where the Holy Ghost starts moving. That's where the victory is. Praise God. Don't pay attention to anything but Jesus here. And I promise you, you'll get what Jesus has to offer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where then is the blessedness you spake of? For I bear you record, if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your eyes and given them to me. I'm therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth. They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that you might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. Everybody say, we need zeal. You know what zeal is? It's you're excited about what's happening. Amen. When you first got the Holy Ghost, or when you first got baptized, or when you first decided to make Jesus your choice, you got excited about it, didn't you? Didn't it seem good? Hallelujah. Didn't it feel good to make a change, to turn in a good direction? Amen. We don't need to lose that zeal. But it doesn't take you long. After you start going to church and start trying to live for God, you will find people in the congregation who will throw a wet blanket on your parade. They will let you know. After you've been in it a while, you'll be like me. After you've been in the way as long as I have, you'll come to be more settled and mature. And you won't jump so much. You won't shout so much and drown the preacher out by shouting hallelujah when I'm trying to listen. That old zeal that you got, it'll settle down. You'll be like me at some point. Don't ever listen to that. Hallelujah. There are people that are zealous to good works, and then there are those who are zealous toward bad works. We don't need to backslide after we go forward. There is no place for backsliding in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is forward motion. It's always going to something that's better. From here to something better. The greater always comes later. It's never, I wish it was like it used to be. No, it's now like it is, but it's going to get better. Praise God. From this point forward, it's more exciting. I have more reason to be happy. I have more reasons to shout. I have more reason to jump up and down and say, hallelujah. I have more reason to say, hallelujah, with all my heart than I did when I first found God. Hallelujah. There are too many people going to church and going back into the way they were. The church is not something that's supposed to die. You came from death to life. The church is a place for the living. Wave their hands and shout with victory. Shout with a voice of triumph, saying, great is the Holy One within us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you, that you might affect them. This is just their way of writing what we would say it like this. There are some people, if you don't settle down and do it the way they want you to do it, be like they want you to be, they're not going to talk to you anymore. They're not going to want to have anything to do with you anymore, because they're afraid you're going to affect them. And it would be better if you'd affect them than to let them affect you. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing. Not only when I am present with you, Paul said. Find a way to do this without me having to be there. After all, he's known as a jailbird. spends most of his time in jail. He goes to church, gets arrested, and goes to jail. He wants to be with them, but he can't be because he's always being arrested. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. That should never have to be said to a group of church people. There should never be a preacher feel like I have to travail till you get born again to somebody that's been born again. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. What that is simply saying, if you left what you had, you don't have Christ anymore. If you came into the church, got born again of the water and the Spirit, and you're not happy about what you got, and you're not praising Him, and you're not putting Him first in your life, you need to be born again. Hallelujah. I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice. So do I. For I stand in doubt of you. Tell me that you desire to be under the law. Do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bond maid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bond woman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. That's what came down out of heaven on the day of Pentecost. The new Jerusalem. They were gathered in a place in the Jerusalem which is from beneath, where the law, where the flesh, where all the things that are temporal were taking place. But after just a few days of waiting in the old Jerusalem, a new Jerusalem came and filled all the house where they were sitting. The Jerusalem which is above is free, which is the mother of us all. You know who the mother of us all is? It's Jesus in His church, bringing forth sons and daughters. Your church is your Jerusalem from above. Hallelujah. The place where you were brought in to the kingdom of God. Your brothers and sisters were travailing with you. We got excited with you. We said, oh, thank you, Jesus. A new child is born. Your mother wants you to praise God tonight. Jerusalem is beckoning to you. With a voice still saying, how oft would I have gathered you together? Now, He said that to the old Jerusalem, but He should never have to say that to the new Jerusalem. There should never be a time that Jesus weeps and says, how often would I have gathered you together, but you wouldn't hear me, but you wouldn't worship, you wouldn't listen to me. How often I would have blessed you, but you wouldn't be blessed. That should never come from Jesus to the church. This is the new Jerusalem from above. Thank you, Jesus. The Jerusalem from above is free. I don't care how tired you are. You're still able to wave those hands. You tell your body it's okay. You tell your feet it's okay to dance a little bit. Tell yourself you're not too tired to praise God. Make yourself line up. You have something here that's important. It's the Spirit of the living God dwelling in your life, and you need to put that flesh in its place and worship God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Let's praise Him. Everybody stand and praise Him tonight. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I praise You. Lord, I praise You. It's okay to cry a little bit. It's okay to say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, from the bottom of your heart. He heals you. He sets you free. He brings you out of darkness into light. He makes a way when there is no way. He gives you strength when you're weak. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Everybody say, I'm a child of promise. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Praise God. You're not going to get most of your persecution when you go out into the world. It's when you get to church and something around you is keeping you from being free. That shouldn't be. I don't care if it's your daughter, your son, your mama, your husband, your wife, or your toe. You need to be free. Hallelujah. He that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit. If anything is hindering you from serving God, that's persecution. If anything's holding you back, that's persecution. You need to get rid of your persecutors. You've got power over that. Hallelujah. Persecution is not when somebody won't give you a raise or fires you from the job. Persecution is not being free when Jesus has set you free. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we're not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Be not entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say to you, that if you be circumcised, Christ profiteth you nothing. In other words, that's not where it's at today. Now it's all in Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Would you gather around the front? Amen. Verse number 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Everybody say, walk in the Spirit. Now, when you walk in the Spirit, you're going to still be using bones, and skin, blood, muscles, nerves. Sometimes your feet are going to hurt. But that's not the Spirit. Hallelujah. You can walk in the Spirit sitting in a chair. You can walk in the Spirit lying on your bed. You could walk in the Spirit flying on a jet. Thank you, Jesus. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What that lust of the flesh is in this passage is simply letting the flesh get its way when you know you need to be letting God have His way. Praise God. It's not just sexual lust. It's lust. It's the flesh wanting to make excuses why you can't be free. It's the flesh wanting to hold back when you need to be turned loose. It's the flesh wanting to sit still when it needs to be moving around. The only thing that's going to make your flesh do right is your spirit. Hallelujah. Praise God. The flesh is weak. It's the spirit that's willing. The spirit never gets tired. The spirit never hurts. Once you've been born of the kingdom of God, you should never, ever have a wounded spirit. Praise God. If you're wounded in the flesh, your spirit can take care of that. You may have to walk with crutches or a cane, or you may have to be in a nursing home, but the spirit can be free. Hallelujah. If you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I've also said in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Those are works of the flesh. But this is not a letter just addressing adultery and envying and all those things. He's just telling you that the flesh is no good. It does all that stuff. And you want to listen to it now? All that stuff and such like includes everything else you can think about, how you are, how you've been, and what's holding you down and keeping you from going on. That's flesh. It's nasty flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit. One fruit here. There's a list of words, but there's one fruit. You got to have all this to enjoy the fruit. The fruit. Not the fruits. The fruit. That's not a bunch of apples, oranges, and bananas. It's one fruit. Everybody say one fruit.
One fruit.
The fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is the Spirit. In other words, the Spirit that is the fruit, or the fruit that is the Spirit, is this: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Now it takes all that to have one spirit, the fruit, that overcomes every temptation of the flesh. Thank you, Jesus. Against such there is no law. In other words, there's no law, there's no bondage, there's no change, there's no way it used to be, there's nothing to hinder you, there is nothing, nothing that can separate you or stop you from being free in the liberty that God has given you to give Him everything you've got. Hallelujah. And they that have this fruit belong to Jesus Christ and have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Hallelujah. Let's praise Him tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I praise you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your lovely name, Jesus. Praise your lovely name. Bring a praise from my lips, God. Let my spirit soar like an eagle. Don't let anything hinder me from being free to worship you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name. Praise your holy name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I've heard a lot of people in my life saying, church is not like it used to be. It's better than it ever was. That's a lie. When they say church is not like it used to be, it better mean it's better than it used to be. If they're saying, I can't worship now like I used to, they don't have Jesus in their life. Praise God. If church is not in you now, greater in you than he that's in the world. If Jesus is not everything you ever needed in your life right now, and a whole lot more, praise God. There's nothing in the past that was ever better than this. And if he ever was your all in all, and he's not now, the problem's not the church. The problem is not Jesus. Jesus hasn't backslid. The promise hasn't been dropped. He hasn't decided, I'm not going through with what I started you out on. If you're not full of victory now, the problem is with you. Thank you, Jesus. Who are you talking to, Brother Rutledge? The one that just asked that question, I'm talking to you. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter who we are. We all have these problems. We all have these problems. That's why we need a preacher once in a while to point it out. Hey, stop complaining. Stop whining. Stop finding something to murmur about. I know people tonight that are within driving distance of this church, staying at home complaining about this church and the way this pastor does things, and they don't have anything I want. And if you go get on the phone and listen to them whine and complain, their little bit of leaven might just jump on you and you might try to bring to church. And I don't want it. We want pure cake around here. With all the stuff that's already been prepared, we don't want anything added to it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you're sitting at home complaining, or maybe you've been in the Pal Talk room and you liked us for a while, but you don't like us anymore because we're too strict, too straight, or we do things you don't understand, and you can't worship God because of it, hey, keep your mouth shut. We're free. I don't want anything you've got. I don't even want you to come here till you get rid of that junk. You walk into this door praising God. Glad you're here. Glad you're able to shout hallelujah when you get here. Let's praise Him again tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for the freedom. Thank you for the liberty. Thank you for the new life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. God's good, isn't He? Amen. Be not entangled again the way it was. Don't have to be confused and
entangled with the world anymore. Praise God. We're in it, but not of it. You have to deal with your hide. You're in it. But it's not in the driver's seat anymore. Amen. The only reason people can live for God today is because they have a spirit, a willing spirit, that wants to live for God. And that comes from God. And I'm not going to prolong this, but I think you got the point tonight that nothing new has been said. Same, it's all through the Word of God. Amen. We can give ourselves over to tiredness and thoughts and imaginations, evil imagination. Evil imagination is not having a dream about some woman or some man necessarily, or robbing a bank. Evil imagination is just letting your mind take charge and following after that. Oh yeah, your mind says, you're not even worthy to praise the Lord. And you said, you're right. I know how I am. I'm guilty. I've messed up. I haven't done like I ought to do. Look, who are you going to listen to? Your thoughts or His thoughts? Who are you going to depend on? Your way or His way? Who has the strength to make you a winner every time? The way you've always been or the way He is? Hallelujah. Praise Him again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.